right. We're ready to go. That's it?
This is Kim Poitras.
Yeah. Are you going to read these?
Sure.
Oh, how?
So we have Kim Poitras in opposition.
State your name and address.
L'Arche Avenue West.
Yeah, feel free to pull the mic a little close. There you go.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Yes.
First, I'd like to say 4 weeks is hardly enough time to learn everything there is to know about the concrete industry, concrete batch industry, zoning regulations, and how to maneuver the public hearing process itself to ensure that our concerns are addressed. The city of Winnipeg faces many challenges as the projected population growth outpaces the supply of new land for development. It is estimated that by 2031, the city will face a significant land shortage as population is expected to grow by over 180,000 people, adding 65,000 new jobs. The projected deficit of over 2,000 acres of industrial land will be mitigated by utilizing available green fields and brown fields. Through Speak Up Winnipeg, Winnipeggers have expressed the need for environmentally, socially, and economical sustainable solutions. In response to our Winnipeg promises to prioritize building completed communities and accommodating growth and change in a sustainable way by balancing growth in new and existing communities. We are here today to ask that you honor this request for all citizens of Winnipeg, the residents of Transcona, the children of the nearby Transcona JC's daycare, and those who use the Transcona Bioreserve and Transcona Trail in pursuit of healthy lifestyle choices. Transcona has seen enormous growth in the past decade. We have also seen major improvements to our community, enhancing quality of life. Over the course of the past few weeks, I have heard many positive comments about the changes to our community. The Transcona Trail has been life-altering for many people. One woman counted 200 people per hour on the trail during peak times in the city. The community is more active. The millions raised for this effort pale in comparison to the cost savings the healthcare system will realize as a direct result of this trail and many others like it in the city. Unfortunately, poor planning has also led to complaints from residents in Kildonan Green who back onto the heavily used rail line. The city has a responsibility to ensure zoning and land use permits responsibly consider the impact of these decisions. On September 11, 2013, EPC unanimously voted to change the Griffin neighborhood from recent community to employment lands in the completed communities direction strategy, which would pave the way to rezone the property at Lot 35 Day Street and Lot 23 Valde from M2 light manufacturing to heavy manufacturing, M3 district. Although we cannot dispute that heavy industry is part of this neighborhood, we asked the city to establish mandatory buffer zones between heavy industry and residential property. The existing M2 light industrial zone between Griffin Steel, Border Chemicals, and the residential property does exactly that. M2 light manufacturing districts provide light manufacturing, processing, service, storage, warehouse, and distribution with limited outside operation. While M3 manufacturing heavy districts allow heavy industrial development with potential significant outside operations, very large buildings, and frequent traffic. M3 districts cause substantial noise, emissions, and odor, which is a nuisance to and negatively impact neighboring properties. Last week, the City of Winnipeg heard a report in the wake of the Mission Industrial Fire, which recommended increasing buffer zones between heavy industry and residential areas. While little can be done to reduce land use disputes between existing manufacturing and residentially zoned properties, we can prevent similar disasters with appropriate future zoning decisions. The buffer between Border Chemicals, Griffin Steel, and nearby residents is between 600 and 1,000 meters, hopefully enough to mitigate the risk of acute disaster should an explosion occur. The proposed subdivision and rezoning of the property in question is less than 250 meters from residential property, which is why we are here today. Griffin Steel actual plant is about twice the distance from the proposed rezoning to M3. We want council to not only consider the case before them, but to implement greater buffer zones between all proposed M3 heavy industry zoning requests and residential areas. Griffin Steel and Border Chemicals are zoned M3 and emit 20 tons of fugitive emissions and 5.6 tons of sulfuric acid annually. Would it be acceptable to locate these facilities within 250 meters of residential homes? By comparison, Newfoundland requires a minimum of 1,000 meters between heavy industry and residential areas. Included in the January 2010 proposal from JC Concrete Products Limited for the construction and operation of a concrete batch plant and recycling plant in both the RMs of Springfield and West St. Paul, Manitoba Conservation made the following comments. Although there is potential to generate noise, it is not significant considering the absence of residents in the area. Manitoba Water Stewardship expresses concern about truck washout containment areas and settling ponds. Manitoba Conservation Community Planning states the proposed plan would be subject to an evaluation as to whether this type of industry might be considered a nuisance due to associated noise, dust, traffic, unsightliness, and emissions. Manitoba Conservation Environmental Operations reported they had responded to complaints at similar operations where the settling ponds had overflown down the drainage ditches. The solids then hardened, rendering the ditches useless. Manitoba Conservation Environmental Services stated that the proposal indicates hazardous waste may be generated and the Dangerous Goods Handling and Transportation Act applies. Again, we have not been informed what hazardous waste will be generated and how it will be disposed of, other than dangerous goods used in the, are there other dangerous goods used in the operation? Environment Canada states portable and mobile concrete plants can emit significant amounts of fine and coarse particulate and gassy emissions, including silica, a known carcinogenic, dangerous to human respiratory systems, causing cancer. The concrete manufacturing process also releases the following substances declared toxic under the Canadian Environmental Protection Act: PM10, sulfur oxide, nitrogen oxide, volatile organic compounds, and ground level ozone. Particulate matter is mainly released through fugitive emissions during materials handling and storage. Batch plants such as the proposed project can emit a significant amount of PM and gases. Concrete batch plants are required to report under the National Pollutant Release Inventory. What other chemical storage and handling concerns should we be concerned about? Diesel storage tanks, leaching of oil or hydraulic fuels from cement trucks. The community's effort to gain information about the proposed operation was not successful. We went to the applicant's open house and asked how many trucks will be serviced each day, quantity of aggregate stored on average, how much water will be used, and how will the added pressure on the city's water main affect the quality of our water? What hazardous materials will be stored on site? How will wastewater and truck areas dispose of silted water? Where will contaminated water go during the spring runoff? No answers were provided. How can an informed decision be made without knowing more about the nature of the operation? The zoning debate rages on as Mission Industrial Fire a year ago at Speedway International identifies the need to keep industry and residential areas segregated. At this time, I would like to submit to you well over, 1,700 signatures of people in the area who signed the petition opposing the rezoning of subject lands to heavy manufacturing. We respectfully ask that you do not approve M3 zoning on property 250 meters from residential homes, the Transcona Trail and Bioreserve, frequently used by those in pursuit of healthy lifestyle choices. Thank you.
Hold on. Excuse me. Questions?
Yeah, and I know passions are running high, and we try to keep it so it's not like a concert hall thing with all the clapping, but I know passions are running high. So I guess I'll have a look at your petition. Kim, thanks very much for your presentation. Did you, The one issue, I guess I read some of the emails that came in that were presented to us tonight, some of the submissions of people who couldn't make it tonight for whatever reason. And one of the things that seems to keep coming up over and over again, and you spoke to it, I think, is the environmental health issues, the concerns with regards to what type of dust, pollution, noise. That seems to be the predominant issue that you've heard when you've talked to people about this issue, in terms of the impact or the concern in the neighborhood?
It is, but more to that is the rezoning itself. To put M3 so close to residential areas, there's a daycare down the street, what if it wasn't a concrete batch plant? What if it was a Border Chemicals or a Griffin Steel? It's M3, that's what M3 does. And it's my understanding that this process is for the zoning, the subdivision and rezoning only, and really doesn't look at what will be placed in that zone, only that parcel is able to be rezoned M3. And so that's concerning.
It's a land use decision, you're right. It's a land use decision, so the environmental part of it is governed by the province. They have the jurisdiction there, but you're right, it's a land use decision before us. So.
And unfortunately, we seem to be in a reactive environmental situation where if there's a problem, you complain and they might do something about it. There doesn't seem to be the proactive, and although the applicant has presented proactive measures, the whole process and the system is quite reactive, and really it's complaint driven, and we don't want to be in that situation, and we don't feel that 250 meters is enough of a buffer between an M3 zone and residential properties.
Okay, I appreciate your presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you
for the petition.
Thanks.
Next we have Betty Thiessen. And just a reminder to everyone, you now have up to 10 minutes to speak.
My name is Betty Thiessen, 153 Larch Avenue East. Please do not rezone for heavy industry so close to residential homes, to a daycare, to our wonderful path that thousands of people use, to our bioreserve that people, pets, and wildlife use. I met a woman who comes from St. Boniface to use Transcona's beautiful pathway. Young families, seniors, walkers, cyclists, rollerbladers, students from the local middle school and high schools use Transcona Trail and the bioreserve, and they will be breathing deeply, their lungs will be wide open. The residual effects of the dust from this heavy industry will affect us and our future generations and will put a heavy cost on our healthcare system. Please do not rezone for heavy industry because this will open up the area for other heavy industry yet unknown. I also have a letter here from a neighbor. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions?
I don't have any questions.
Okay. Thank you very much. And
Day Valve? Am I pronounced? Did you want to speak or just be registered? Oh, sorry, Daniel Blakey. Sorry, I was reading at the... I need to get my glasses. Daniel Blakey, please. No, it's true.
Name and address.
Daniel Blakey, number 4 Park Circle. Just like to start by saying good evening to the members of the committee and the clerks and everyone gathered here tonight. And by the end of the hearing, and it started already, I'm sure we'll have heard all about a wide range of concerns shared by members of the community here tonight, as well as many who are unable to come down here today. They run the gamut from questions about the health and environmental impact of placing a concrete plant so close to a residential neighborhood, to the serious nuisance caused by the dust and noise of the plant, to the long-term implications of this rezoning proposal for the area. I'd like to draw the committee's attention to one aspect of the proposal in particular, what I would call the extent to which its approval would be at odds with recent government investments and policy. Some of the worst inefficiencies in government occur when the right-handed government operates without knowing what the left hand is doing, and I think this proposal has the potential to create just such a situation. For instance, the province of Manitoba recently spent around $6 million to pave Gunn Road. A major reason for undertaking that project, and for those of you who don't know the area, Gunn Road's in North Transcona as well, the proposed area is just south of Gunn Road. A major reason for doing that was to address concerns area residents had about the amount of dust that traffic was kicking up off the gravel road into their yards and homes. I think that allowing a new dust hazard to locate in North Transcona after having spent so much money to eliminate another doesn't make sense. And of course, we've heard tonight that, you know, if you follow certain measures and if the weather conditions are right, then the dust problem will be mitigated to the greatest possible extent. But I think there's an issue of trust there. I think there's an issue of the fact that even when you mitigate a hazard as best you can, there still are residual traces. And we've heard, well, this is largely already a heavy industrial area. So you have Griffin, and they're already doing things that contribute. When you have the Domtar site, it was cleaned up, but that wasn't perfect. So adding a little more isn't going to hurt. But I think the community is rightly concerned about the cumulative effects of all these things. You know, I mean, and you can think of any number of analogies. If you have a bathtub that's already too full, well, it's already got too much water on it. What's throwing another bucket on it? Well, it makes things worse. And so even if things are already bad, there are things we can do to not make things worse. And I think people living in North Transcona don't want it to become the backyard of a heavy industrial neighborhood. And every time we add another, we compound that problem. Another recent large investment in Transcona, and it's been referred to already tonight, is the Transcona Trail. And a lot of money, both by the city and the province, was invested into that trail. The success of that as an investment has been overwhelming. Anyone who doubts that only has to take a stroll on the trail at just about any time of day, and you'll see what a boon it's been to the community and how well used it is. So when we talk about buffer zones between residential neighborhoods and heavy industrial zones, it's important to recognize that an area like the Transcona Trail, which so many people are choosing to spend their recreational time in, is effectively, as far as I'm concerned anyway, an extension of the residential area. The same factors that make it undesirable to have heavy industry planted right next to residences also make it undesirable to have heavy industry border one of the principal recreational areas of a neighborhood. A lot of money was just spent creating the Transcona Trail, and I think that to jeopardize what's been up to now a shining example of achieving value for money in a government investment by threatening the trail's popularity with the noise, dust, and health and environmental impact of a concrete plant just doesn't make sense. The cleanup of the land affected by the former Domtar operations in Transcona and the subsequent creation of a bioreserve on some of the affected land is also a relatively recent development. While there was, through Domtar, a lot of private money in that project, obviously, it nevertheless required time and effort in order to make the cleanup happen successfully. In addition to the tangible benefits for the cleanup of the cleanup for residents in that area of Transcona, the creation of the bioreserve also served, I think, as an important symbol for people in Transcona of a move towards reclaiming land damaged by heavy industry for the community. It took a significant negative in our community and it turned it into a positive. So I think to turn around now and make land adjacent to the bioreserve available for heavy industry and, again, risk further adverse impact, and again, we heard tonight, well, you know, the bioreserve isn't a kind of pure ecological reserve. There's still a lot of contaminant there, so really what's the worry if we put something else next to there? But what I'm trying to say is that it was, and it is, an important symbol of Transcona beginning to reclaim some of that land that's been damaged by industry and trying to transform itself into an area that isn't known as people living in the backyard of heavy industry. So I think the symbolic value of allowing this zoning change to go through, and you know, Councillor White's right, it is a land use issue in that sense, has a symbolic value of its own, but it's not a positive one. The bioreserves created a sense of progress and pride in Transcona, but not an invulnerable one. An important risk of this rezoning is that more environmental fallout from heavy industry in the area may undercut that sense of progress and pride in North Transcona. But finally, I want to spend a little bit of time discussing the city's recent report entitled Mission Industrial Neighborhood, Planning Approaches for Mitigating Conflicts Between Residential and Industrial Use. The report lists some of the problems that arise when heavy industry is located next to residential neighborhoods. For instance, it says, quote, many M3 uses are particularly noxious and may generate frequent truck traffic, as well as noise and odor impacts on neighboring properties, end quote. It goes on to say that according, quote, according to zoning bylaw 200-2006, new M3 zoning should not be established within 300 feet of an existing residential zoning district, end quote. Now, obviously, we're talking about a slightly larger buffer, but within the report itself, it talks about the need, or certainly one of the ways to mitigate these negative effects that it talks about, as being to increase that buffer zone. So the proposed M3 zone that we're talking about tonight is 258 meters from the nearest residential neighborhood, but it's only 200 meters from the Transcona Trail, and it's 0 meters from the bioreserve, which really is no buffer at all. If you consider that these major recreational areas serve a large residential area that borders directly onto them, and that residents spend a considerable amount of their time in those areas, then we should be just as concerned about having a buffer between these recreational areas and heavy industry as we are about having a buffer between heavy industry and residential areas. Moreover, the MIN report, the Mission Industrial Neighborhood Report, mentions that other jurisdictions are moving toward increasing their buffer zones, not decreasing them. For example, the City of Regina, and this is in the report, mandates a buffer of 500 meters between residential areas and heavy industry with hazardous materials stored outdoors. Again and again, the MIN report emphasizes the importance of adequate buffers between residential areas and heavy industry. It recommends rezoning buffer areas to M1 or M2 in new developments or redevelopments, while noting that, quote, existing businesses may continue as they are indefinitely with legal non-conforming rights, end quote. The recurring disadvantage cited by the report with respect to using rezoning or modification of existing planning documents to create adequate buffers is simply that, quote, it brings about change slowly. Existing uses retain non-conforming rights to remain, end quote. So now, if you look at what we have now in Transcona, we have a situation where the existing state of affairs, which is an M2 zoning designation for the land in question, is in keeping with the policy direction suggested by a recent city report commissioned in the fallout from a major disaster in the city brought about by zoning heavy industry too near to residential uses. To allow this zoning change to go through would contradict the policy direction that common sense recommends and that council appears to be on the cusp of endorsing. Not only that, it would create an existing heavy industry with non-conforming rights to remain that would in turn make it difficult to make the area compliant with a new policy that seeks to establish effective barriers between residential and heavy industrial areas in the city. I urge you tonight not to approve this zoning change. Preventing any more heavy industry from encroaching on Transcona neighborhoods would be in keeping with recent moves to clean up the area and reduce industrial nuisance in North Transcona. These efforts have enjoyed a high level of community support and have met with great success. They deserve not to be undermined. At the very least, a defeat of the rezoning application tonight would allow for more time. Time for the company to incorporate community concerns into its plan. Time for the community to get answers to many as yet unanswered questions about the health and environmental impact of the proposed plant. And time for the City of Winnipeg and Council to consider the MIN report and set a policy direction for the interaction or lack thereof between residential and heavy industrial areas. I think it would be ridiculous of Council to approve this rezoning today only to pronounce a few months from now that it does not improve of zoning M3 so close to residential neighborhoods. I think if we ask the right questions and take the time to make sure the left and the right hands of government are working in tandem, we'll be able to spare a lot of headaches for everyone while we move forward with a real plan, not a mishmash of activity, to address the industrial needs in Winnipeg. Thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you. Any questions?
No, thank you very much, Mr. Blakey, for your presentation, and I don't have any issues with it other than it was three levels of government that got Gun Road paved. I know the province participated, but they were one-third, and the city participated on one-third, and actually it was the arm of Springfield and the city splitting one-third, the federal government the other one-third, and the provincial government one-third. So it was a positive development for the community, there's no doubt. So. But just a clarification for the record, Mr. Chair. So,
let's keep the dust off the road.
Right on. Thank you very much.
Next, I have Annette Beauchamp and Renee Fosher. Did you want to speak or just be recorded? Just recorded? Okay, thank you. Richard Poitras, did you want to speak or just be recorded in opposition? Thank you. Dollar Marion, just recorded. Paul Lucenkey-Q, I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing this correctly. Nola Mathis and Greg Mathis. Okay, and maybe I'll just call the next couple people so you can come down if you wish to speak. Cheryl Freeman and Ken Burfoot. This is Nola.
My name is Nola Mathis. I live at 435 McMeans Bay. I've been a resident of Transcona all my life, 47 years. I'm not afraid to tell you how old I am. I find it quite ironic that following a weekend on which we gave thanks for our many blessings and celebrated our bounty with friends and family, that today I am speaking in opposition to something that may threaten the very things that I just gave thanks for. I'm not an environmental specialist. I certainly do not feel like I have had the proper time to research this matter to the depth in which it deserves. But here it goes, to the best of my ability. I want to take this opportunity to speak on the matter of the environmental threats posed by the possibility of a cement batch plant being built in my backyard. After reading some information on existing cement batch plants that I was able to locate by myself, well, I'm not feeling very warm and fuzzy about my proposed new neighbors. The information that I found outlined what a cement batch plant does, the different aspects of its operation, and what the general layout is, as well as what the different machinery looks like. The applicant wants us to believe that this type of operation can be safe in our neighborhood. But how can it really ever be as safe as it needs to be, so close to residential and recreational areas? I have found that the biggest environmental threat and also the most common complaint filed against cement batch plants is air emissions. When I speak of air emissions, I mean dust, the fine particulate matter that is commonplace to a cement batch operation. These types of plants can generate dust from all different areas of the operation. There will be aggregate piles on site stockpiled in open bins. The aggregate will be moved to mixing area on conveyors or loaded off the gravel trucks. Every time the aggregate is moved and the wind blows, guess what? Dust will travel. Dust will travel outside the immediate plant compound. Sure, the applicant can promise us to keep their property neat and tidy, but tell me, who's going to clean the dust that will ultimately settle outside of their yard? Dust will also be generated from Portland cement handling, from the baghouse, from the silo, from the weigh hopper, and from the drop plant. Dust can also be generated from the slump and washout areas, as well as the plant roads and the trucks themselves. Sure, the applicant says that they will have dust abatement filters. These filters will reduce the dust. Historically, these dust filters are only as good as their maintenance. There is no 100% air emission-free operation. Sure, it's only dust, right? We get dust from other areas in our community as well. But the dust from a cement batch plant is special. Why? Because this dust contains silica and lime. Silica is a known carcinogen that can not only irritate already compromised respiratory systems, like those folks who have asthma, my son's one of them, and a large group of children in the care of the Transcona Jaycees daycare down the road. But continued exposure to silica can lead to an even bigger health issue called ciliosis. And then there's lime. This is a good one, too. Lime is a known irritant to skin and eyes. Lime's acidity can also threaten vegetation when accumulated on, say, a snowbank over wintertime, and then mixed in with melted snow come spring. The effects of lime can be immediate on new growth and future growth as soil will become contaminated. I wonder how that may affect my backyard garden or my beloved bioreserve. This is just awesome, not so much. Yeah, this is just what I need to add to my nice, relaxing run down the Transcona Trail, or perhaps while I walk my dog in the bioreserve. The only 100% risk-free way to operate a cement batch plant is to make sure it's located with a substantial buffer zone from residential and recreational areas. Not in my backyard, not in anybody's backyard. I don't understand why our city would even entertain this proposal of building a cement batch plant so close to residents' home and where the people go to get healthy exercise. It makes no sense to me. It has been suggested that Griffin neighborhood is already emitting substantial air emissions. Then why is it a great idea to add more to the mix? The negative effects of air emissions, such as these, become even more harmful from their cumulative effects. In this case, more is not better. Putting air emissions aside, cement batches can also present a threat to surrounding soil and wetlands. The Transponder Bioreserve is full of marsh-like wetlands. Settled dust on surrounding lands or overflow runoff from truck washout and settling ponds can all contribute to contaminated soil and water. The leaching effect has immediate results. Once again, the applicant has assured us that the washout area and settling ponds will be properly maintained. They will never overflow or work improperly due to clogging of the accumulated cement washout. I want to believe this, but my instincts tell me once again this is not a foolproof operation. There is just no 100% guarantee that any runoff will never reach the bioreserve or any of surrounding lands. A cement batch plant is noisy, but there's no immediate health-related issues to that, other than it just really sucks, and it'll deter a lot of people away from the immediate area. The applicant tells us they will operate between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., and maybe they may operate later in peak seasons or on Saturdays. What's the peak season of cement batch plant? Construction season. Summer. That would be the peak season for use of the Transcona Trail and the bioreserve as well. Now I can wear earplugs and a ventilator while I jog down the trail. Once again, I hope I can take refuge when I get home in my house and never open the windows. A cement batch plant is not a flaw-free operation. Dust clogs filters. Dust coats equipment. Trucks. A 5-foot berm, coniferous trees, and a fence cannot stop the wind from carrying your dust into the surrounding area. Please, please, I ask you not to build a cement batch plant in my backyard. My neighbors and I are scared. We are scared of the unknown. We haven't had a proper time to properly educate ourselves to make a really, really informed decision. We have not received conclusive answers from the applicant. At this time, I have no other choice than to stand in opposition of this application. Thank you.
Any questions?
No, I don't, but thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
Next. Cheryl Freeman.
Good evening. Cheryl Freeman, 429 Edward Avenue West. Good evening, councillors, citizens. With respect to the subdivision and rezoning file, DAZ34/103, firstly, I would like to say I am very concerned as I feel I have not had sufficient time to gather and review information in relation to this application. Due to this and the fear that this may be my only opportunity to express my opinion in this forum, I choose to be opposed. I would rather stop something that I am not sure I understand and has, I feel, the potential for impacts that should be seriously considered. After all, an M3 zoning classification exists because it is acknowledged that there is a greater risk associated with certain heavy manufacturing. I did attend the applicant's community roundtable, hoping to get answers. There were numerous ongoing stations with different informational components. I was soon overwhelmed with the feeling that I was missing out on hearing important questions being asked elsewhere while I tried to secure information for the station I was at. Unfortunately, I left the event feeling even more concerned and confused. I have lived in Transcona for 75% of my life. People I love dearly have lived there their entire lives. A majority of the residents of Transcona have long, strong ties to this community. What I have also felt is an increased sense of community pride, though, as we continue to see healthy developments throughout Transcona. As with many others, I wish to live in a healthy community. So I began to think, what is a healthy community? Certainly concerns have been identified surrounding the direct physical and health impacts. There's also the unknown risk of long-term physical health impacts. How often is scientific research changing? All too frequently, there are news stories about this new risk, that new risk. However, the concept of health also extends beyond just the absence of disease. A healthy community, like a living organism, drives itself from a complex web of factors, economical, physical, environmental, social, and political. There are concepts within sociology that link an individual's sense of community attachment, community satisfaction, and the sense of belonging to a bigger community. The terms that are often used are social capital and healthy communities. When people are connected, they feel better overall. When people are connected, it helps to reduce their health risks. I am not an expert by any means on this, but I was able to find numerous references and research online speaking on this matter. I believe we have been experiencing this in Transcona with the coming together of residents to reclaim the Domtar contaminated land into a bioreserve, the Transcona Trail, Bueller Park, and many, many other projects. It brings us all together. This all helps to build momentum towards community pride and social capital. When a community is successful in bringing about change, it gains confidence. It increases the odds that community members will become more involved, and they will often then continue the momentum and carry on to the next community concern. Though we may not be aware of or even understand the complex sociological concepts or theories behind this, we feel it. We have experienced it. And while the concept of social capital is still in its infancy, it is recognized as a way to think about the important but difficult to quantify aspects of community that may be associated with health. So, what are the benefits with a high levels of social capital and community attachment? Public spaces are cleaner, people are friendlier, streets are safer. There appears to be a strong relationship between possession of social capital and better health. It may even play a role in reducing the incidence and prevalence of mental illness. And they spend more locally reinvesting in their community. Conversely, low social capital is associated with more isolated individuals, and individuals who lack social connections or report frequent feelings of loneliness tend to suffer higher rates of morbidity, mortality, infection, depression, and cognitive decline. So, what can decrease an individual's sense of health and social capital? When people feel worried, anxious, or unable to cope, continuing insecurity, social isolation, lack of control over factors that directly affect them, and lack of trust and respect. And what are some of the things that are known to increase social capital? Well, obviously, the opposite of those, as well as facilities to create social interaction. So what does all this have to do with the proposed rezoning? I believe the proposed rezoning and the land-based use does this. It increases stress and will. The process seems to be way too fast for an individual to process and feel comfortable about making a decision, never mind then trying to communicate, organize the community to be able to put forward a response. The public notice requirements for this fall significantly short of actually notifying the public. Not everyone gets the published paper, and ads are small and easily passed over. Should there not be more rigorous requirements for a public hearing surrounding a rezoning to an M3? Increased stress. There is an environmental risk that must be controlled and or mitigated. This is confirmed. Control means that there exists the possibility for breakdown, something out of control. This requires trust. And in this case, trust in an organization that I am unfamiliar with and also seems to be inexperienced in the building and operations of a cement batch plant. Increased stress. The organization did not seem to have a plan to self-monitor emissions and rely on government inspection only or the complaint-driven format. This puts all the responsibility on me to be the lookout. What am I looking for? Do I really even know? I have read that small particulate matter that can be emitted cannot even be seen by the naked eye or a photograph. Increased stress. The city does not monitor this in respect to the environmental concerns. It only relaxed complaints about bylaws. And the bylaws at this point don't cover noise. Hours of operation covers nothing unless we put it in a zoning agreement. Even then, it's complaint-driven and goes through a lengthy court bylaw process, which may result in a fine. So what am I looking for? increased stress. The province only monitors regarding the environmental permit. With all the talk of provincial cutbacks, will there be sufficient staff to perform the monitoring? Increased stress. There is talk about mitigating efforts. To me, that implies it only lessens, not eliminate. Increased stress. There is acknowledgement of the required to contain dust within the property by regular sweeping so to prevent it from exiting the property. But if it does, are there any requirements for the business to clean it up? Increased stress. I understand that the organization would have to address the causes when dust levels are in violation, but there seems to be uncertainty as to what the organization's responsibility would be in cleaning up the surrounding area after those violations are registered. Increased stress. An individual home is an investment. If the controls and mitigation efforts fail, the area gains a reputation, and the desirability of community declines, and so will my property values. This affects my financial health. Increased stress. The area already has emissions from Griffin Steel and Border Chemicals. Are the cumulative effects adding on to the emissions even known? Increased stress. If the particulate is diluted enough while airborne, which is what we've been told, what happens once it hits the ground and accumulates outside of the business area? Who will monitor that and clean it up when it accumulates? How will we know when it's just plain dust and when it may contain something enough to cause concern? Is there going to be required testing around the area? Increased stress. Is that if this M3 is approved for these lots, can we expect changes to the rest of the M2 areas? Will it set a precedent with respect to how close an M3 can be to a residential area? What other heavy manufacturings might then apply and add to the emissions and the cumulative effect? Increased stress. An individual cannot and a community cannot afford to pay for a consultant to provide an alternative viewpoint to refute claims made by the organization's experts. Just like a court case, there are always experts with differing views. Reduction of facilities and social interaction. If the cement batch becomes operational, will it affect the progress made in the healthy living practices gained through the Transcona Trail and the bioreserve? Will I want to run, walk, cycle on a trail where I could inadvertently be exposed to dust particulates? How will I even know if I'm exposed? Does this cause people to stop or reduce their usage and thus their physical activity? This will have a health cost. Reduced activity equals reduced interaction, increased isolation. This health risk or feeling of loss and trust, lack of respect, lack of control. Where are the lack of control? Where are the concerns? Because if it gets past this point, it becomes a provincial issue. We need to stop it here because there's not enough known. If the rezoning is approved, I believe it will affect the overall social capital of Transcona. There will be an impact on the health of the community. It will have a compounding effect on other projects and the progression of Transcona in a positive direction. Now, some may say that there's been some fear-mongering going on, and I believe I'm a fairly intelligent individual, and I have attempted to get into the facts and look at the information that has been supplied and come to a conclusion. As I progress, I find myself with far more questions than answers. So I wouldn't say don't worry about inciting fear. Trust me, I'm already getting there on my own. I am not questioning the intention of the owners. I do not personally know him. However, there are multiple examples out there where good intentions have not been sufficient to prevent accidents or lower risks. There are always statements about we thought we had sufficient control and mitigations in place, but we did not expect whatever. The big accidents make the news. The smaller ones don't. So again, in closing, due to the operations and concerns that I have based on the limited time to research and educate myself on the operations of a cement batch plan, I am opposed to the approval for rezoning. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Well, thanks. Thank you for your presentation, Ms. Freeman. Thank you very much.
Ken Burfoot.
My name is Ken Burfoot, and I live at 11 Marcus Place. Excuse me. Members of the committee, I am a longtime resident of Transcona, and my wife and I have raised our children in this community. Two of our children have now purchased homes near the Transcona Trail and the Bioreserve and are starting their own families. We are very concerned about the real impacts that the approval of this application to change the designation of the area for the proposed plant from M2 to M3 will have on the quality of life that we currently enjoy. I have for many years walked with my dogs in the bioreserve and more recently walk with the dogs on the Transcona Trail. During these walks, I take time to enjoy the marsh, the wildlife, the birds, rabbits, and on special occasions, a fox or a deer. It is time to meet with other like-minded members of the community to comment on the weather, what we've seen, and talk about what's happening in the area. I take the walks in all weather, in all seasons. I was very surprised to hear that there was a heavy manufacturing M3 application so close to our neighborhoods, the Transcona Trail, and specifically the bioreserve. The cement batch plant is only 250 yards from houses bordering on the Transcona Trail, but it's directly adjacent to the bioreserve. There are no buffers. You've heard and you will hear about the lime and silica in cement dust that has health impacts, including skin and eye irritation, allergies, and potentially silicosis. I am very concerned that this will add to the pollutants in the air for existing M3 emissions from current companies such as Griffin Steel and Border Chemicals. I attended the meeting of JMT Holdings on October 10th and heard there that there should be negligible, if any, environmental impacts. There would be appropriate mitigation measures in place. The filters should work. They talked about the washings of the trucks would not be conducted on windy days, work within allowable levels of dust clouds. What happens all winter? They did not talk about eliminating those risks. Cement batch plants and their yards are noisy, dusty areas. The operation of the batch plant, the trucks loading and unloading sand and gravel and cement, and taking loads of concrete off-site, the backup sirens on the trucks when they move around the yard and back up into the washout areas all contribute to this very noisy and dusty environment. I want to read to you just two other jurisdictions that deal with cement plants. Can I get a glass of water? Or you know what, I got a bottle of water. I brought one with me so my mouth wouldn't dry out. There is a famous class action suit that happened in Quebec involving a cement company. The lawsuit made it all the way to the Supreme Court of Canada. The community involved took the cement company to court on the basis of nuisance and health effects. The Quebec Superior Court ordered the St. Lawrence Cement pay the residents of the community $15 million in damages due to the nuisance, because neighbors cannot be expected to suffer annoyance beyond reasonable levels of tolerance. Having this lot rezoned would mean that the heavy manufacturing that is M3 would be too close to residential and recreational areas to allow enough space to muffle the intolerable noise levels. Not only will the company be emitting unsafe poisonous emissions into the air, it will also be creating more noise than tolerable by the neighbors, us, the residents of Transcona. In another jurisdiction, poor operating practice of a concrete batch plant or a rock washing operation can have a dramatic impact on the environment. Washing rock creates large volumes of highly silted water in the effluent from cement truck washing. And this causes me concern. If it builds up all winter and then melts in the spring, this is where we are going to see an immediate impact. Immediate destruction of vegetation. One of the most important factors in meeting requirements of the department is the selection of the site, Effects of both noise and dust on nearby population areas are of primary concern, followed by potential impacts on vegetation, wildlife, and water quality. The operation shall be 1 kilometer from any residential area, recreation facilities, or commercial establishments. Access to the site not to be through residential area. Outer boundaries of the site are to be at least 300 meters from any body of water, such as streams or ponds. A distance of 300 meters should also be maintained from all provincial highways. Site drainage shall not, as much as possible, be away from water borders. All operations prohibited from locating within a protected watershed or other designated sensitive area. The operation is to be neither clearly visible from a provincial or municipal highway or street, or not at an elevation that makes operation visible to the surrounding area. A vegetation screen is to be maintained. Those are the standards that are laid out in Newfoundland. Even though this is out of our jurisdiction, my question is, why are Manitoba's standards so much lower than that of other provinces? Safe work procedures state that any employees working with or around cement should be wearing vented face masks. The effects of these poisonous emissions are increased with the duration of exposure. So the employees that work at these companies for a short period of time wearing the proper personal protective equipment may not be affected. But residents that are so close and exposed for decades without the proper equipment will be affected. Employees of any company have the right to know what the hazards are when working on any work site. So why don't residents living so close to this site have a right to know the actual long-term effects? Will we be given vented face masks so that we can leave our houses and use our parks or walk on our beautiful trails? So let's go back now to my comments on the quality of life we currently enjoy in Transcona and how this will be affected by the approval of this application. If I am walking my dogs on the Transcona Trail, I will see the plant in the distance over the fence and hear the operation of the yard again in the distance. If I am on the path in the bioreserve in the marshy area directly adjacent to the yard, I can clearly see the operations. I can see the sand and cement dust covering the snow. I can hear the noises of the trucks coming and going, the sirens, their loud beep, beep, beep as they back up. The school groups are walking through. We'll see the benefits of a bioreserve offset by a heavy industry cement batch plant operating less than 50 yards from a sensitive marsh environment. The decisions you make today or in the future will be what I call legacy decision that will affect our children. Over time, when we look back, will we be saying the health impacts in Transcona are slightly higher than in other areas of the city because of the concentration of heavy industry? There is slightly less biodiversity in the bioreserve because of pollution and noise from the processing or from the batch processing yard. The housing prices are lower because of the health issues, dust and noise from the nearby M3, and the decision to reduce the buffer zone between residences and the heavy manufacturing area. That there is always dust in the snow on the Transcona Trail and in the bioreserve. That the trail is less used. That the bioreserve is less used. That there is less tax revenue because of lower tax assessments. Let me end by saying that I appreciate the good work that has taken place to improve the health of our community, the parks, trails, reserves, gardens, and enhancements to the nearby downtown. I find that this application is directly opposed to the improvements we have seen in our community and would be a step backwards in our progress. This is likely a good company, but this is definitely the wrong location. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Questions?
No, but thank you very much, Ms. Burford, for coming. Thank you.
you want to mention them if you have any, if you're the environmental concerns, if you have any information?
Mm-hmm. I just want to mention that the next speakers, if you have new information to bring, it would be appreciated so you don't, we don't repeat ourselves all evening. So,
Albert Bernstein, did you want to speak? Okay. And I'll mention a couple more names. John Nisley, did you want to speak or just be recorded? Just be recorded. Merlin Shoesmith, did you want to speak? Yet to leave, thank you. Gudrun Antosh, did you want to speak? Okay. And Joe Patinod, just recorded. Ken and Ann Bond, just recorded. Linda Hughes, thank you. Wayne Hughes, you want to speak? Okay. So we have the next three speakers.
Okay, name and address.
My name's Albert Bernstein. I live at 2036 Plessis Road, across from the cement crushing plant. Now, I'm going to talk about experience. This is all about experience by having a crushing plant or a cement plant. There's a difference, but it's still cement dust. Uncompliances with the applicant. I'm here to, I live at 2036 Plus Road, across the road from JC Paving Cement Crushing Plant. They're in an NERM of Springfield. I live in North Kelowna, right across the street. On any given day when the wind is from the northeast, I get all the dust from the plant and all the noise. This makes it almost impossible to sit outside in the summer when the plant is operating due to the dust, the noise, the trucks, the loaders dumping the cement into the hoppers and crushing it. We can't sit in the house with our windows open. There's just too much dust. And when I cut the grass, I come in, I'm just full of dust. You have to go take a shower, really. When I went to the plant scale operator and talked to the lady there, she couldn't do anything about it, so I asked her to give me the owner's number so I could talk to him. She phoned the foreman and talked to him, and he said, "It's a crushing plant. We have a permit to operate here. I can't help you." This is compliance. They don't want to help you once they got this plant set up. I'd asked Bob Bernardchuk, the counselor for RM of Springfield, to come out to my house. He said he would look into it. He never got back to me, and the dust keeps coming. And that was after a number of phone calls. I have all the phone calls written down and all the dates that I phoned. I had phoned Julie Froese from the Environmental Office for the Conservation and Water Stewardship, Environmental Compliance and Enforcement. She came down, she heard the noise, and saw the dust around everywhere. She took notes but never heard from her again. Also, Litman Auto Body, next door to the crush plant. He does body, painting. He paints a car, and after it dries, he puts it outside. It's full of cement dust. Full. He's now a new paint job. You know what that does? It scratches everything when you blow it off, okay? Yeah. All through the summer, JC Paving's hired trucks leave the yard. They have full loads, and they have no covers or tarps over it to cover the load. The dust is blowing down the road until it dissipates, Now, if you go down Day Street, JC Paving is breaking the rules already. They have a gate off the Day Street, but their trucks are pulling over the curb. The curb's this high. They're driving right over it. And they're driving over the city's approach there. So that's already they're breaking the rules. The moral of the story is, beware. They are saying they have the best interests in mind and are listening to you. Once they have the M3 zoning, they will not be interested in talking to you. A 5-foot berm and a 10-foot fence doesn't beautify an area. I think they are hoping it will stop dust and noise that they know the plant will create. If there is no noise and no dust, why would they need a fence? Now, I got phone numbers and that, but I've called everybody and whatever. But I also phoned Mr. Boatti's office. He said that's not his jurisdiction, the secretary. I phoned Mr. Wyatt's office. No, that's Mr. Bawadi's. Who do I talk to on Plessis Road? So, and also I talked to Donna Smiley's Clean Environment about the dust, and I talked to the foreman at JC Paving. I called July, and I called in May. And one more thing, at the round table, the applicant said he had no complaints. I'm very surprised he said that. And now, today, he's saying he's had some complaints. So who do we believe? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Bernstein. Thank you for coming. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your presentation.
Gudrun Antosh, 29 Barron Street. Mr. Chairman, councillors, neighbours, I thank you for providing me the opportunity to present on the application to rezone the piece of property in Transcona to from M2 to M3. This zoning change will negatively affect myself, my neighbours, and Transcona residents for years to come. It's this future, M3 zoning, so close to residential, that concerns me, not the applicant's business plan. Winnipeg defines the M3 zoning as favoring those industries that, quote, require very large buildings, frequent heavy truck traffic for supplies or shipments, or that may require substantial mitigation to avoid sound, noise, and odor impacts to neighboring properties. Unlike M2, which limits outside operations and storage, the wording is not requires mitigation against sound, noise, and odor impacts, but substantial mitigation. The M3 zoning on this property impacts not only the numerous people who enjoy the Transcona Trail for running, biking, and walking, but the wildlife that now calls the bioreserve home. Gone will be the deer, the geese, and foxes that will be displaced due to the increase in noise, traffic, smells, and contamination of the land. The quote by George Bernard Shaw says, quote, success does not consist in never making mistakes, but in never making the same ones a second time. The City of Winnipeg has made two well-known mistakes of allowing heavy industry near residential with severe impacts to the residents. The first is the Domtar plant that was located adjacent to the land now being proposed as M3, with possibly the same impacts to the land and surrounding area. The rehabilitation of the Domtar site included removing all debris and physical hazards from the site, removing hot spots of surface soil contamination, installing a security fence around the former processing area, disking and tilling the soil in the north and south storage areas, drainage backfilling of the former evaporation ponds, and abandoning the former storm water drainage wells. Why do we choose to invite these same potential elements next to a site that costs millions to clean up? The lesson learned is that heavy industry such as M3 zoning will have an impact to the environment. Leaching in the ground will impact all the surrounding air water drainage areas and ponds found in the bioreserve. On October the 25th, 2012, the headlines read, quote, councillors question putting heavy industry near homes, unquote. Winnipeg City Hall is mulling over the question of whether heavy industry should be allowed to set up near homes following a massive fire at a St. Boniface fuel plant early this month. The city was asked to look at whether it would be appropriate to put heavy industrial areas zoned as M3 so close to residential streets. This potentially could be Transcona. Accidents will happen. Maybe not immediately, maybe not for many years, but they will happen. Currently, we have one company applying, but who can say who will be in that M3 zone 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Recently in the paper, the aftermath of this massive explosion in St. Boniface a year ago was being discussed. Zoning changes to keep dangerous materials allowed with M3 zoning away from residential areas in its planning stages. Quote, the City of Winnipeg plans to isolate industrial users with environmental licenses from residential neighborhoods. At a minimum, the proposed M3 zoning application should be delayed until the new guidelines are in place. Rushing the zoning change through, knowing there is a change in the works, is making a decision without all the facts. Let's learn from our past and be successful in Transcona by recognizing that M3 zoning does not belong and has no place next to a residential neighborhood and parkland. Transcona is a growing community with the development going on at the yard works on Plessis. It is a great place to live, raise your kids, and grow old in. Neighbors know each other even if they live blocks apart. Our growth needs to focus on people, such as in the new development, not heavy industry that drives people away. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
No, but thank you very much, Ms. Antosh, for coming.
Thank you.
Wayne Hughes, 82 Whiteshell Avenue in Transcona. I've lived in the area of Transcona for, I hate to say it, 42 years. In that time, we've seen many, many different initiatives and trying to gain community input and involvement. And for many years, I find it interesting that hearings like these were held in the community. An interesting concept. Maybe we should return to it. Recently, I have noticed in the site that there's been a lot of activity on the Valdate property. Many, many, many trees have been cut down. Hundreds of trucks of fill have been brought in. It seems that the owner of the property is working on the assumption that the variance will be granted. That's concerning. It just doesn't make sense to spend the amount of money that has been spent without first obtaining the appropriate zoning requirements. This area has been the subject of controversy in the past. In fact, Councillor Wyatt, I would suggest, cut his political teeth on the Domtar site. I remember many meetings at different community clubs, and the work that resulted from that was very good, and we have a wonderful recreational site and now the Transcona Trail. And all of these things are under threat. They're under threat of not continuing into the future just because of an ill-planned cement plant, which will be within 200 feet of the Domtar site, and I find that unacceptable. But I will point out that there is, in the immediate area, an existence of not one, but two cement plants in the Springfield municipality. And it just seems that appropriate areas where they are down on Redonda, perhaps the applicant could explore becoming a partner with one of those two cement plants, whether they buy it or whether they go into a partnership. I guess the key is we don't want this kind of operation within our very beautiful recreational areas, whether it be the biopreserve, whether it be the Transcona Trail. Zoning categories exist for a reason, and in simplest terms, it makes sense to concentrate heavy manufacturing in the areas away from residential areas. The area should be left M2 because, at the risk of making a bad joke, recreational facilities and residential developments don't mix with a cement plant. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. News.
Questions?
No. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we just take a 5-minute break?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Taking a 5-minute break. Anybody need to washroom or...
get some water.